Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Monday of the first Sunday after Easter. The lesson is taken from Peter's first epistle, the first chapter, verses 1 through 12.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. John 20:29. What? What's John 20 doing here in a meditation on 1 Peter 1? Is it surprising that John and Peter, two of the inner group of three disciples, should converse with each other? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. 1 Peter 1 is filled with delicious, because the bread of life is sandwiched in these verses, tensions and ironies. The kind of thing every student and especially teacher of literature can sink his teeth into. All throughout 1 Peter 1, I feel as if I have been put on the rack of faith, a faith that pulls me because of the kingdom of heaven that is here and now, but not yet, lived in a life that is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and yet is not yet completely holy. Verse 4 speaks of an inheritance reserved in heaven for me, but I'm stuck here on earth. In verse 5, I'm told that I am kept by the power of God, but that my faith and salvation will only be fully revealed in the last time. In verse 6, I am to greatly rejoice, but now on earth I am grieved by various trials. Verse 7 rejoices me because my trials may lead to a faith more precious than gold, and to be found to praise, honor, and glory, but only at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Him I love in verse 8, but now I do not see him. In verse 9, I am receiving the salvation of my soul, but this is the end of my faith, and it is still in process. Grace has come to me by verse 10, but the prophets inquired into it, not seeing it. The suffering of Christ is passed by verse 11, and even his glory, but the prophets could only testify to them beforehand. The prophets, suspended on the crux of time in verse 12, have ministered unto me, but not unto themselves. The gospel has been preached to me, and even the angels desire to look into them. Stop, help! You shall not crucify me on a cross of time. How seemingly unfair of God to set me on this cosmic merry-go-round called Earth and place the brass ring always just out of my reach until I lunge and plunge and exit this merry-go-round. How excruciating it is sometimes to try to believe in God and not see him, to desire to see him and yet not to see him, to be distracted by the things I see from him whom I cannot see but must. The evil things in my life persuade me there is no God, and the good things in my life persuade me that they are gods or that I am God. All the good stuff seems in the future, all the kingdom and the power and the glory and joy in heaven and his blessed presence. It hardly seems fair. There's a small consolation in knowing he's been doing this to his prophets for millennia. Why? Why, if he sent his son to save the world, am I still able to be so blind and still hurt so much? One answer is that very cross of time I have been talking about. It was into this cross of time that he sent his son, that self-sacrificing Lamb of God that offers himself for the sins of the world. It hurt him to enter time, and so it must hurt me. He entered time, the one beyond time, to redeem time and take it into his eternal present. He too, he especially, has felt the cross of time and hung on it, but also escaped it. What is it that can possibly unite the glorious future that he promises, because he's seen it and dwells in it, with me, who am still suffering in the present? Faith. It is faith that bridges the cross of time, and not only hangs on it with Christ, but also escapes it. Not meaning that we escape time itself, but the cross of time, in which what is perfect and promised is not yet here, the cross of time in which the gravitational pulls of earth and heaven threaten to tear me apart. It is faith which brings me into the presence of God and his ever-present life. Verse 5 also speaks of the faith by which I am kept by the power of God for salvation. And in verse 9, I am receiving the end, the goal, the completion, the fullness of my faith. Though I am stuck here on earth, I am in the process of receiving heaven. I am not stuck after all. I am here in the present with God by faith. I am not alone. There is another one bearing my cross with me. C.S. Lewis had Screwtape say this about time. For the present is the point at which time touches eternity. Of the present moment and of it only, humans have an experience analogous to the experience which our enemy has of reality as a whole. In it alone freedom and actuality are offered them. He would therefore have them continually concerned either with eternity, which means being concerned with him, or with the present, either meditating on their eternal union with or separation from himself, or else obeying the present voice of conscience, bearing the present cross, receiving the present grace, giving thanks for the present pleasure. In the present alone, Screwtape reminds us, and there alone, dwells all duty, all grace, all knowledge, and all pleasure. And so I will not lament being here in time, or being here and now on the earth, for I am not alone. The God I hope to meet and experience in heaven is here too with me in the present, here on earth, here in my suffering, and especially here in my faith. And though I don't see him as I shall see him in the life to come, I see him by faith, and he is here. For the moment, that is all I know on earth and all I need to know.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.